All right, guys. Well, got something a little different this morning. You can see how different. You can see our title, Holding On To and Letting Go of the Right Things. This is, it should be about 15, 20 minutes, this message here. So, yeah, welcome to the new year, right? I mean, I feel like I haven't seen you guys since last year. Oh, man. Let it go, yeah. So, it's January 1st. You know, it's pretty odd, pretty unique when we get to have church on January 1st. Was anybody else disappointed by the New Year's celebrations last night? I mean, I just felt like they really dropped the ball with it. All right, so I'm forewarning you. So my daughter got me a dad joke daily calendar. So that was, and that was today's joke. So lots of ammunition for the coming year. You're welcome. No, on New Year's Day, you know, we always want to take, obviously, you know, we turn the calendar, you turn the page, you know, I know Jenny started a new journal, all this stuff, you know. At New Year's, we take stock of the past year. I mean, I'm sure most of you have done that at least to some degree in the past week, yeah? You take stock of, man, this past year, you think about all the things that that you did, that you accomplished. I think we tend to focus on the things that we didn't get done. Anybody? Yeah? Like, oh, man, I didn't do, right? We think about the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff. January 1st it's a fresh start. It's a chance for us to kind of like, okay, we're going to hit reset now. You know, we're past the holidays. We're past the excess. So now we can kind of get back on track. How many of you said that this morning? Like, back on track this morning, you know? I love, you know, I'm focused. Babylon Bee is a conservative Christian satire site. They released their predictions for 2023. January 1st, Seth, did you see this one? January 1st, millions of people commit to reading their Bible every day. January 4th, dozens of people still reading their Bible every day, all right? The holidays are over. You know, we all know that we ate too much, we spent too much, we moved too little. So now we're getting back on track. Amen? And that's good. January 1st is a good time to do that, to set goals. You know, we think about the things that we have done, or the things we didn't do that we should have done, and we think about the things that we did do that we shouldn't have done, and we kind of like, there's this whole, you know, reflection thing. That's good. It's okay to do that. So we want to talk about, really, though, in my experience, all right, is that we can tend to hang on to the wrong things in our lives and get rid of the wrong things. Really, the main point today, you know, just it's not really overcomplicated. That the point is that as we mature in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we outgrow the old things and the old ways. Not really complicated, but yet, we can hang on to these things because we feel some attachment to them, and they're really not healthy for us, all right? It's okay to get real with what we need to hang on to and what we need to let go, all right? So the question is, how do we know? How do we know what we should hang on to and what we should get rid of? In my experience, personally, and in talking with folks over the years, you know, we tend to hang on to the things that have no value or are even toxic or harmful in our lives, and let go of the things that are healthy and wholesome and beneficial for us. So anybody else go through a purge this past week? Did it start yet, or are you waiting until today, the purge, to begin, right? Okay, so what I mean by, we got exchanging gifts and stuff, so I got three new shirts, and new pair of pants, which I'm wearing today, and new socks, which I'm also wearing, but you know, can't see those, all right? 12 pairs of socks, right? I got a pair of pants. Why is it a pair of pants anyway? Anybody answer? I never understood that. It's two legs, but we look a little odd to have just, I know, but it's only one, anyway. Stay on track. Okay, so I got that stuff, so I was motivated. Usually this is Jenny's department. I was motivated. I went in my closet, and I'm like, time to purge. Under purge, right? So, so what you see there, I got rid of about 18 things. Those are hangers that are now empty in my closet. And here's what I did. Over the last 6 months, I've done that thing with have you done this thing with the hangers? You use it, right? You wear it, wash it. When you put it back in, you turn the hanger around. So it's facing a different way. After 6 months, I went through now and I went, okay, this hanger hasn't moved. I don't wear it. Gone. Right, took it out of my closet, donated it, off it goes. Shoes, all right, my shoes aren't hanging up, but that's not the point. All right, I don't wear any shoes. All right, these shoes actually hurt my feet when I walk in them, when I wear them. Why am I keeping it? I don't wear, you know, get rid of it. Pairs of pants. These pants have been hanging in here for 6 years with this idea that one day I'm going to squeeze back into a size 30. I'm giving up the dream there, okay? The 32s I kept. It is okay, all right, and you know, okay, right, we hang on to these things. I'm going to call, where's Doug? Doug's here. Doug, you gave me ammunition, brother. Doug's like, I'm wearing, like, tell me something. Doug, it's a nice shirt. Everybody say, nice shirt, Doug. Doug's like, I'd never wear shirts like this, but I got it as a gift. I felt obligated to wear it, so I'm wearing it, right? We all have that stuff, folks. Come on now. We all got that thing that we got that, oh, I don't really like it. It's not really my style. It doesn't really fit, but I'll hang on to it because I feel guilty about it. I can't give it away. I can't part with it, right? What are we, you know, that's you know, clothes, that's toys, that's all that stuff, whatever. But we do it, and we clutter our lives with this stuff, and then you feel overwhelmed, and you feel like claustrophobic and all this stuff. We do that in our lives, too. The things that we hang, well, I feel obligated to stay in this relationship. I feel guilty if I, it don't fit. All right, I'm going to make the point at the end. If these things, you know, in your character, if they don't fit you anymore, because you're not the same person anymore, because thanks be to God, you're a new creation in Christ, then get rid of it and be free of it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Now, we hang on to things. How many of you can remember something rude or unkind that some kid in second grade said to you? Look at the hands go up, right? Like, yep, absolutely. We hang, you know, Bobby Smith said something stupid because he's 8 years old and doesn't know anything. He's probably got his finger stuck up his nose when he said it. And we think, oh, man, hey, that... And we hang on to that, but we discount the hundreds, if not thousands, of things that good things that people have said to you. We have an unpleasant experience, whether it's at church or at work or in our family, and we go, oh, that's the thing that... What are we hanging on to, right? Get ready to be free to let go of stuff. So, all right, let me ask all the kids a question this morning. Kids, what was the best gift you got this year, this past week? You got a dinosaur toy? Is that what I heard? Awesome. Dinosaurs, rawr, right? Peppa Pig. I got kids too. So, anybody else? This is audience participation. Okay, adults, what was the best experience you had this past week? What was the best part of Christmas week? Time with the family? You got a what? A robot? Oh, Batman. A Batman robot. What's better than Batman? A Batman robot, clearly. Right? Always be yourself, Josiah. Always be yourself, unless you can be Batman. Always be Batman. Right? Okay, so, all right, kids, you know, like, okay, so I got a picture here. Why am I, you know, I got a mug. All right, I got a new coffee mug. All right? And here's the thing. I had the question up here, you know, what's the best gift you got? Now, tell me the best gift you got last Christmas. Rick's like, I got my Bible. Okay, that's good. All right? Anybody else? Any other takers out there? 300 people in the room. We can't remember the thing we got last year, right? It was the most important thing at the time last year. A year later, we can't remember it. And that's the thing here. What was the best gift you got this year? I'm going to ask you. Are you going to remember it a week from now? A month from now? A year from now? Right? Here's the thing about this coffee mug. Jenny and Bella got this for me in Disney when we were in Disney in November. I knew about it. Guess what? Jen's like, you know what this is. I'm like, I open up, I'm like, oh, I actually forgot about it. I forgot about it before I even got it. How quickly do the good things in our life get swallowed up and we forget about them? All right, so this the other day, I went through and you know, thanks to Google Photos, you know, technology is wonderful at times. Google Photos saves all my photos for the last year, and so I went back to January and I got my journal out and I went through with the pictures and I thought, oh yeah, in January we did this and this and this and this, and I went through all year round, just the good stuff. And then I posted some of that yesterday, and that really, you know, I was trying to keep it to like one picture per month, you know, but really, I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. Pages in my journal of all the good, just the good things that God has done, that we experience as a family or that we, right? hang on to those things. So if you're going to make a resolution, right? You know, did you know the word resolution doesn't actually appear in the Bible? It's not biblical, so there you go. You're off the hook. The word intention, though, is there, all right? And that's what a resolution is. It's something, it's a decision we make based on a good intention. So here's a resolution for you. Have a long memory for the good things in life. Have a long memory for the good things in life, all right? Hang on to those good times, all right? Let's read Psalm 105, verse 5. Can you guys read that okay up there? If not here on the big screen, you're good? Let's read Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and the judgments uttered by his mouth. Where's Aggie at? There she is. Marvels. Aggie pointed out that in this picture here that the word marvel is actually right there. So God is an avenger. Anyway, right? What is David saying here? Remember what God has spoken to you and remember what he's done. This is why we encourage you. If you're going to have another resolution or a goal, make it journaling. Write it down. Write down the good stuff. Because you look back and you go, oh, man, this is, God has done. We sang this 1,000 hallelujahs. 1,000. What does hallelujah mean? Praise the Lord, right? God, thank you for. I said, thank him, you know, thank him for, he's done at least one thing in your life. But if we really take stock for a moment, we are overwhelmed by how much good he has done in our lives. Let's read Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I ponder and think about your ways. I get deep into the things that you're doing. Right? So have a long memory for the good things. All right? All right, I got the bowl of candy here. You all notice that, right? You all line it up. All right, who can tell me what John 10:10 says? Okay, if you can say it, stand up and say it. I got lots of candy. Go ahead. All right, great. All three is. Nobody in the balcony? You don't want to test my arm this morning? All right, so what do you want? I got a whole bowl of stuff here. I can even hand out Jenny's Heath bars that we got her. But peanut butter cup, Almond Joy, chocolate, Butterfinger, peanut butter. Lisa there. Who else? Who else had it? Over here. What do you guys have? Peanut butter. Everybody knows what the good stuff is. Whoop, look out. Heads up. Jamal, thanks for the assist. Nancy. Peanut butter. Man, those are mine. Everybody's taking my peanut butter. Not no more. Yeah. The 32 circle. Who said that, Steve? Nice. Good, good. All right. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life to the full, the abundant life. I mean, if we pause to really reflect on it, the fact that we woke up this morning. Amen. God put breath in our lungs, the ability to get up and come here. There's enough. God, thank you. You gave me life today. We start with that, and then everything else after that is a bonus. Okay? All right, I mean, think about it. We get the joy of, I mean, and I love the energy and the excitement that's in the building today. You know, we're all excited, you know. We get to spend an hour with God, not just on Sunday. We get to spend every second of every day with him. If we would tap into that and really invite him in, that's what he wants to do. But how quickly we get, you know, something bad happened, and now I forget about God. I forget all the good things he's ever done for me. I'm going to focus on this one thing. You know, I'm going to focus on Bobby Smith from second grade again. Now, have a long memory for the good things, all right? I appreciated so much Rick's message from 2 weeks ago, carrying the stuff, the hard stuff of life, and had the sled up here, you know, all the weight on it, you know, like, it's so true. Point being, you know, January 1st is a great time, but any day is a great time to let that sled go, man, to cut it loose and... You know, really, it comes down to what do you choose to focus on? What do you choose to look at? And we're going to talk about the hard stuff in just a second, all right? But here's the thing. You won't ever get tired of carrying the good stuff. That weight won't ever bog you down. You won't ever be like, oh, man, I'm so weary of all this good stuff happening. You can feel that all day long, all year long, and it won't ever bother. It'll just, you can keep growing, all right? So something that a piece of advice that Pastor Rick has passed on to Jenny and I and the rest of the church management team, the staff, that he has said it numerous times, enough times that I've actually paid attention to it and you know, and remember it and then begin to apply it. You know, is anytime we would face like a hard time, a situation in the church, you know, okay, you know, sure, we want to, all right, what's the Lord teaching in us? But also ultimately to say, you know, there are too many good things happening to focus on one negative. Right? If you look around, God is on the move, victorious in so many areas. Don't let the one thing be the thing that you focus on and drag you down. All right, that's the enemy who wants to do that. So have a long memory for the good stuff in life. Now, let's be honest, okay? I'm going to ask, anybody want to volunteer? What was the worst thing that happened to you this past week? Ooh, it got awfully quiet in here. And, okay, now, folks, now, let's be real. We can be real here, amen? Is life always easy? Is life always fun? Does life always seem fair? No, there are hard times in this world. Absolutely. You know, our hearts go out to Ron and Laura Gold. You know, Laura, you know, lost her mom. Went to be with Jesus this past week. Think of Yvonne Stout, whose mom went to be with Jesus this morning. Okay? So, like, I know that life, you're not always, like, just overflowing with joy. Anybody else willing to admit they had a rough week or had a bad spot this past week? Some experience or some situation that was not the best of times? That threatened to invade your peace on earth and goodwill towards men? I mean, for me, okay, you could take your pick for me this past week. What was the worst experience? Was it the fact that mom's, you know, pipes froze in her new house on Monday, the day after Christmas, when nobody's open, right? Was it on Wednesday when Jenny's truck wouldn't start again? Dave Ramsey, right? Right? Was it when I got into an argument with somebody who is very close to me and I love dearly? Pastor Cliff has arguments? Yep. Was it yesterday? Which is, you know, it's the 2-year anniversary of my own dad's passing. Okay? And I don't say that for sympathy or pity, like, oh, you know, but I get it, because life is hard and life is difficult at times. Have a short memory for the bad stuff. Have a long, and I used to say this to my dad a lot. I had this conversation with my dad a lot of times. Because he would come to me and say, oh, I'm so sorry for, you know, for being Bobby Smith when you were 15, you know, for saying something or another. And I said, Dad, I don't remember that. Like, I remember the good stuff. That's it. I don't carry the bad stuff. I have a short memory for that stuff, okay? So let's read John 16:33. This is Jesus talking. He says, I have told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I have conquered the world. I love how the message puts that. You know, unshakable and assured in him. Not on anything that we've done, but what he's done for us, right? So, you know, again, we've all had something difficult or unpleasant. Some of those things we are the recipients of. They were done to us by other people. Some of those things are we did them ourselves. You know, we made a poor choice, a bad decision that resulted in some conflict or some unpleasantness. That's where most of it is. Right? And this does not mean that we go through and are oblivious and just like, oh yeah, well that's just, you know, suck it up, buttercup. That's how I am. You just have to get. No, that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, having a short memory and not focusing on the negative things. Let's read John 16:21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she feels pain because her hour has come. Now, her hour, that's a time, that's a an hour is this, right? It's a specific amount of time in time. Her hour has come, but read on. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. So what I'm saying is this, when the bad stuff happens, is that we can acknowledge it, we can experience it, and our response, and I'm learning this, folks, okay, is, God, what are you teaching me here? How is this going to make me better, all right? And then understand that even if I make a mistake, even if I screw up somewhere, that does not define the entirety of my life. The same for you. So the bad stuff that happens, we are not held captive to them. We don't stay there. But by the grace of God, we move on. We can see the good in it if we allow God to use it and to mold his character in us. So stop dragging that sled, all right? So let me ask you, did you set goals last year? How many of you set goals last year? I know Rick was. All right, you set goals. Okay, great. How'd you do on those goals? Nailed it? Anybody? Nailed every goal? Your goals were too easy. You did a 15K. 15 kilometers. I can't even do that math. That's a lot. Good for you. Okay, so let me share with you my goal, all right? I review my goals. And then I review my goals, and I looked at it. So I looked at my goals. I got about 40 to 45% of my goals accomplished. Yeah, right? And, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. Well, loser, slacker. That's a failing grade, right? Well, 4 out of 10 in baseball is a 400 batting average. That's good enough for the Hall of Fame. That's an astronomical amount of achievement. 40% is pretty good, right? And 40% is better than what? Zero. Absolutely. Okay? So one of my goals was to ride my bike, and I set a certain amount of mileage. This is how many miles I want to put on my bike this past year. I didn't even get close to that goal. Not even close, right? Now, there's a temptation. There's an opportunity here for me to say, oh, you are such an idiot. You're a loser. You can't do anything. And, you know, and that's why you can't get into size 30s. And, you know, just give up on that goal and sell the bike and just... What did I recognize? I recognized two things. One, that there was a season in our lives that it greatly impacted my ability to ride. I just didn't have the time to do it, all right? And that's not to point fingers and say, well, it's this person's fault or that thing. No, recognize these are seasons, they come and they go. They don't define the entirety of it. Secondly was, I had some equipment malfunctions that took me a long time to go, and I shared those messages back in the summer. You can go back and listen to them again, right? But the end result was I went to an expert, I went to Rick, right? And he said, here, let's look at, oh yeah, here, let's fix that. Let's upgrade this. So when you get the upgrade from God, and I learned something about my riding style and my ability that's going to impact the way I ride. Is that going to be a win in the future? Absolutely. But there's an opportunity there to say, well, see, I didn't hit that goal, so that's, no. What was the end result? Okay, success is not always in that moment. It's beyond that. What did we learn? How do we improve moving forward? Okay. Mom's pipes froze on Monday, right? I'm like, oh. Now, here's a real opportunity to say, you know, for me to whine to God, come on, God, can't I just have one day where nothing goes wrong? Oh, you've all prayed that prayer. Good. Right? And listen, me and fixing things, not always the best buddies. Because there's a lot of things I don't know, all right? Mom's pipes froze. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And I'm very thankful for friends who were there in a moment. And I, you know, just happened. No, not happened. Because God, you know, I was in conversation with Lloyd when I got the call. So then we left, and Lloyd's messaging me. And then I call him, and he said, well, it could be this. It could be that, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. Mom moved into a new house, so we're learning these things. And I'm like, okay, she's only, all right. I know there's a heat coil on the lawn because she's got city water now. She had a well for 33 years, right? Now she's got city water, so there's a heat coil on it. Lloyd's like, well, there might not just be power to it because you don't let that run all year round. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I talked to the guy when we bought the house that there's a heat coil, so let me go down to Mom's house. Let me crawl underneath, and I find the heat coil coming in. I'm like, yep, this is right where it is. And I come in, I'm underneath there, and I'm like, well, it goes to the power cord, and I pull, and I'm like, this feels awfully loose. Crawl back, plug it in. 5 minutes later, water's flowing, right? Okay, now again, here's this opportunity to say, God, you know, I'm not going to remember that. Here's what I am going to remember. walking inside, talking with mom, going, okay, well, we'll figure this out. You know, it should come back on in a little bit. And in the meantime, well, let's talk about this thing. And 2 minutes later, the water starts flowing because she had the things open. And we looked at each other and gave each other a high five. Like, yeah, all right. God gave us a win, right? Those are the moments. Like that, I want to chase those kind of moments. I want to chase those kind of things. Because there's times where I could be, and I'm not mad at mom or anybody who's stuff. It's because I'm like, oh, I feel like frustrated because I don't know what I'm doing. And what are we looking at? What kind of goals are we setting for ourselves in moving forward? What kind of person do I want to be moving forward? That's the question I'm asking you this morning. What kind of person do you want to be moving forward? All right. So, how successful are your goals? Hint: doesn't matter. Keep going. Make new goals. Start, and you don't have to start. You know, if you start a resolution today and you blow it tomorrow, then start again tomorrow. Because that's who God is. He doesn't give up on you. So we don't give up on his stuff either, all right? All right, so an experience can be negative, but we can allow God to choose it, turn it into a positive. Which brings us to Philippians chapter 2. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 7 through 15 this morning as we get ready to wrap up our time here. Let's read the Apostle Paul. Now, we have to just consider for a moment who the Apostle Paul was. This is a guy who was the biggest enemy to the church at the time. His reputation far and wide for him dragging people out of their homes, throwing them in prison, having them executed. This was not a good guy. He did some bad stuff. And what is he saying? Philippians chapter 2. He says to the church. So he's talking to us. All right, what does he say? Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things. How many things? All things to be lost in view of the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed in his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Everybody say one thing. One thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. Now this word perfect here, also translated mature, right? Paul says, as many as us as are mature, let's have that attitude. And if we don't, then ask God, and he'll show you, and he'll correct it. But that's the attitude of maturity. And I mean, this is Paul saying, are you sure? Just because you got your Bible out doesn't make it true. The screen is the equivalent of the internet. If it's on the internet, it must be true. Philippians 3. I knew that. See, I already forget. I make mistakes. We move on, all right? I would correct it for the next service, but we don't have one. So, all right. Thank you. Good illustration right there. Yeah, absolutely. It goes right along with it. It was built in, yeah. Okay, God, I see what you did there. As we mature, Paul says, we outgrow the old things and the old ways. This is Paul saying, look, guys, I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes. I've done some things I'm not proud of. But that does not define me. That's not how God defines me. I'm going to submit it all to him, and I'm going to allow him to use it and to work and to transform his character in me. Paul says, I can't change the past. I can't. All I can change is today. Who I am today, and that's all that matters. All I can do is work on changing today, all right? So, you know, Paul says the hardships in life, the difficult things, those are the things that are critical to us maturing. It's how we transformed, how we are transformed. We don't transform by the good stuff. We get transformed by the hard stuff. All right, so we can't undo who we were, but by the grace of God, we can change who we are. Amen? Amen. All right. So as we move forward, let go of the things that are imperfect or immature. All right, we encourage you, have grace for yourself and have grace for others. This is what, I mean, this is as simple as it can get. If you make no other resolution this year, make this one and stick to it. Have grace for yourself, have grace for each other. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18. It's not a suggestion. It's an instruction. It's a command. Jesus, you know, Peter comes to him and says, okay, God, this whole thing of forgiveness, Lord, how many times? Seven? Is that good? Like, because I could draw that line out there at seven. Jesus says that there is no line, Peter. It's infinity. 70 times seven. And he goes on and he tells a story about a guy, you know, who had all this debt and he couldn't pay it, and the king forgave him. And then he went out and he found somebody else who owed him a small debt, and he just beat him up and had him thrown in prison. And the king found out about it and had him come and throw it. And this is the last thing he says to him. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? You read on here, you know, Jesus says, you know, should you forgive someone? As many times as you want God to forgive you. Yeah, well, that changes things, doesn't it? All right? Have grace for others, all right? So let go of that stuff. Hold on to the things that are perfect and mature. Hold on to this attitude that Paul says. Be humble, be teachable, and look for opportunities for God to work his character in you. He'll give them to you. He'll give them to you left and right, all right? Water pipes freezing. Truck won't start. Whatever. Even, you know, arguments, okay. What did we learn about each other in it, and how are we going to be better as a result of it? Absolutely, that's what's going to happen, right? Psalm 61:3, the Spirit of the Lord will give you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Colossians 4:14, let's read that. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So here's the point, right? Here, as we close our time, those old clothes, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the wrath, the resentment, the inadequacy, all that stuff, those are your old clothes. Folks, you haven't worn that stuff in months, years. Get rid of it. Get it out of the closet. All right? Put on the new stuff. Put on the new garments of praise, of love and joy and peace and obedience and humility, and watch what God does in your life. Amen? Amen. All right. So as the music team is coming up here, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper this morning. As we do that, you know, we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, on the first Sunday of every month. We do that so it doesn't become an empty tradition. It's an observance. As we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to just let it be your prayer as you come up, as you participate here, right? Your prayer is one of, at the same time, thanks and submission. And your prayer is very simply this: God, I'm not who I want to be yet, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. Right? That's how God is far more concerned with your present and your future than he is with your past. So as we come to the Lord's Supper this morning, it's an open table, which means you don't have to be a member here. You're all welcome to participate. Come on up. We've got plenty here. The ushers will lead you row by row, all right? If you can't get out of your chair, you need help, just raise your hand, let them know. They'll bring it right to you, okay? We don't want anybody to miss out on this. This is the celebration of the church together. We are one big family here. And as we do this, as we kick off a new year here, you know, we remember what Jesus said. In the moments before his greatest hardship, he shared a meal with his friends, and he made a commitment. And his commitment was in this, as he said, take this bread and eat it. This is my body, broken for you. He took the cup. He said, take and drink. This is my blood poured out for you, the forgiveness of sins for all mankind forever, for those who would ask. He said, as often as you eat this meal and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I return. So there's the promise. He's done it. He's come once. He came. He paid the price for us so that we could be free of our sin, be free of all that stuff, not have any fear in this world. We could have that relationship with him. And there's a promise there that he's coming again. He's coming again on clouds of glory with angels and 1,000,000,000 hallelujahs. He will establish his rule and his reign forever. When that day comes, we want to be able to say, hallelujah, Lord, you're here. and not say, oh no, Lord. So before you come to the table, I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes for a moment. I wonder if there's anybody here today, right now, who says, you know what, I have never before said yes to a relationship with Jesus, but it's a new year, it's a new day, and I want it. I want that relationship with him. If you're making that decision, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that choice? I see you. Okay. I'm going to have us pray. I'm going to have you ask you all to pray this prayer after me, if you would, please. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you have a plan for me. Those plans are good. Lord, today, I give you my life, every part of it. Help me to let go of the things that are not of you and to hold on to the things that are from you so that I can have the abundant life that you promised. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.